Well, Happy New Year. Happy New Year. Good to see you on this January 1st, this New Year's Sunday morning. We got all the kiddos in here with us. Where's all my kiddos at? Hey, kids. Yeah, did you get your coloring sheets? We had coloring sheets in the back. You've got a sheet that will go right along with Pastor Derek's message today. So all of our kids, I invite you to color that stuff in, take some notes, and God wants to speak to your heart today as well. You think about the early New Testament church, 3,000 folks got saved on the day of Pentecost. It doesn't say they had a kids ministry. You know what I'm saying? So all the kiddos were coming into Bible study with mom and dad. And so we love the opportunity from time to time to bring our kids in. And kids, today we get to see and learn what big church is all about, right? And by the way, you're not the church of tomorrow. You're the church of today. You're very important to God's kingdom. In fact, he said the greatest in the kingdom of heaven will be like one of the kiddos. And so kids, we're so glad that you are in here with us today. Also, I want to do something today I don't normally do. Normally, I don't call individuals out from the pulpit, but I'm going to do that today because it's such a special occasion, and they're going to shoot me for doing this, but that is okay. Jimmy and Betsy Slate, it is their 66th wedding anniversary today. We got to give it up. Y'all wave at us. Come on. Don't be shy. 66 years married. What an incredible testimony. Thank you for your faithfulness to the Lord and your mentorship and encouragement to Crystal and I and to our family. And so we celebrate with you today. 66 years of marriage. That's what it's all about, isn't it? And so thank God for your faithfulness. Okay? Just a quick reminder, too. Next week, new schedule, right? Everybody tracking? 9:30 and 11. So no longer 9 and 11. The first service will now be at 9:30. All of you that have family groups, amen. All of you that have family groups on campus, and it's been meeting at 9 o'clock. Now you'll meet at 9:30. Just push that back 30 minutes. And that way maybe we'll have a little more interaction between services. It sure is nice to come in together today in one service, isn't it? And see folks that a lot of times we may not cross paths with between all the ministry that goes on here at our Sango campus. And so make that note, 9:30 and 11 starting next Sunday. All right, New Year's. How many of you made resolutions? None. Oh, hey, there's a few. Let's try that again. How many of you have made resolutions or you're making them today? You're kind of thinking through it, praying through it a little bit. You know, resolutions, it's been said that resolutions, they are made to come in one year and out the other, right? That's a good dad joke. You'll get that later. But that's what resolutions are made for, right? It's been said that the optimist... how many optimists have I got in the room today? How many optimists? Yeah. That the optimist stays up to see the new year in. Right? How many of you stayed up to see the new year in last night? Yeah, I did too, watching the football game. You know, so I was up pretty late. And but then it's been said that the pessimist stays up to see the old one leave. Right? How many of you say, I'm glad to see the old one leave? Just be honest about it. Yeah. Life is not always easy. And whenever we think about a new year, we think about resolutions. We make commitments early in the year, and about 30, if you're lucky or are doing real good, maybe 60 days in, you might get 60 days in, and all of a sudden, a lot of those resolutions fall to the wayside. And we make resolutions and commitments in all kinds of areas, don't we? How many of you need to go on a diet? Come on now. Yes, diet. I came across this... this little poem, I thought you'd like this. 'Twas the month after Christmas. So let's see if this rings true. 'Twas the month after Christmas and all through the house. Nothing would fit me, not even a blouse. The cookies I'd nibbled, the eggnog I did taste at the holiday parties had gone to my waist. When I got on the scales, there arose such a number. When I walked to the store, less a walk than a lumber, I'd remember the marvelous meals I'd prepared, the gravies and sauces and beef nicely rared, the cake and the cookies, the bread and the cheese, and the way I had never said, no thank you, please. So away with the last of the sour cream dip, get rid of the fruitcake, every cracker and chip, every last bit of food that I like must be banished till all the additional pounds have vanished. I won't have a cookie, not even a lick. I'll only just chew on a long celery stick. And I won't have hot biscuits or cornbread or pie. I'll just munch on a carrot and quietly cry. Right? I'm hungry. I'm grouchy, can't fit through the door, but isn't that what January is for? Unable to giggle, no longer a riot. Happy New Year to all, and to all a good diet. So how many of you want to receive a good diet today? Come on, from the Lord. Yeah, we need to resolve. I don't know about you. I have eaten absolute junk for the past really month. Can we just get honest about it? Since like Thanksgiving, how many of you are Halloween candy people? How many of you are Halloween candy people? For us, it's like Halloween to the new year. So like I'm eating Kit Kats, like, you know, from Halloween all the way through the new year. And so it's time to get back on a good diet and a back on a good fitness schedule. And this past week, just praying through and thinking about resolutions for a new year, it's almost like the Lord just overwhelmed me with this thought. You know, so often we make our plans, our strategies, our commitments. We set all these things in motion that we want to do, that we want to accomplish for, you know, health and family and job and life and finances. And I mean, you name it, all this stuff, all these commitments. But it's like the Lord just stopped me in my tracks this year and said, what about my plan for you? I mean, are those really my plans that I have for your life? And so the Lord brought to me Jeremiah 29, right? Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. So one of those famous verses that, you know, we put on the walls of our house and folks get them like tattooed on their arm, and, you know, and we love to boast about it. It's become one of those cliche verses. It says, for I know the plans I have for you, plans for welfare and for good, not for evil. And I'm paraphrasing a little bit there, but God says, I know the plans that I have for you. He didn't say, I sure do like your plan. And that's what God really convicted me with this week. He said, listen, Derek, it's not about your plans like coming to heaven, like me following your plan. I know the plans I have for you, the design I have for you, the direction I have for you, for your family, for the church. And the same is true for your life today as well. We're not here by accident, isn't that right? We're here by divine design. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. And God has a specific purpose and plan for each one of our lives. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. And Scripture says, many are the plans of a man's heart, but it's the Lord who orders his steps. Proverbs 19:21. Also in Proverbs 16, verse 3, and here's the great trump card, right? And so commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established. And so I got to commit it all to Him. So as we begin 2023, yes, we ought to set goals. Yes, we ought to make plans. But we first and foremost have to give all those plans to Jesus and say, you give me the plan. You give me direction. What we need is a resolution revolution. We need the Lord to come in and transform some stuff in our life. Isn't that right? Let's look together. Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 10 through 13. And I'm going to move through this quickly. We got some speaking in tongues already. Any good this morning? We're receiving it. Man, I'm going to, right now, in Jesus' name, interpret it. I love it. Mine will probably start speaking in tongues in a minute, too. And that is okay. We love the kiddos in here with us. Jeremiah 29, verses 10 through 13. Kiddos, if you have your Bible, you can pull it out. You can read along with us from there. Also on your coloring sheet, same verse. Okay, verse 11 there. All right, let's read. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you. I will fulfill to you my promise. I will bring you back to this place. For I know, and there's that theme verse today, right? I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare, not for evil. To give you a future and a hope. You can put those two words together in the original language. A hopeful future. That's what we have in Jesus. And then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me, listen to this, and find me. God, where are you at? You will seek me and find me when you seek me with, what's the next word, church? Come on now. With all of your heart. Everything. Lord Jesus, speak to our hearts in the few moments we have together this morning. Help us to seek you with all that we are, to call upon your name. Jesus, we're grateful today that the plans you have for us are for good, for a hopeful future, not for evil or calamity or destruction. And so today we come and we lay our plans down and ask, give us your plan for this year, for our families, job, health, church, ministry. God, who do you want us to reach for you this year? Invite, like Pastor Kevin said that word. Father, who's the one family, the one individual that you want us to reach out to invest in this year? Father, I pray, give us your plan. Jesus, it's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Before we dive into our resolution revolution this morning, we see here three truths that we should take to heart if we want to see our resolutions become a revolution, a true change in our life. Before we dive into those three truths, though, there's some important context here. This is one of the most misinterpreted passages in all the scripture. This is a passage most people take, and it's like health, wealth, prosperity gospel, right? I know the plans I have for you. Man, there's never going to be any hardship in your life, never any difficulty, never any struggle. And man, when you're really walking by faith, you don't have depression, right? You don't get sick. Well, that's not true. Hello. Can I get a witness today? God's word says that even those who follow him go through incredible difficulty. And that's the very context of this passage. Jeremiah is writing here to those who have been exiled to Babylon. And they've only been there for a short time. And now there are these false prophets who are coming in the name of Yahweh, the name of the Lord. And they are saying, oh, God's going to take all this difficulty away. And there's going to be no more struggle, no more hardship. We're going to go right back to Jerusalem and everything's going to be hunky-dory. And Jeremiah says, that ain't true. You're going to be here 70 years. And so, by the way, you need to build houses here. You need to pray for the welfare of Babylon. By the way, we are all just exiles in Babylon. Don't miss the picture. We are all aliens and strangers here. And so what should we do? He tells them here, number one, you ready? Be peacemakers, not troublemakers. Did you hear that? Be peacemakers, not troublemakers. And so God calls us in this culture not to be troublemakers, but to be peacemakers with the gospel. And so that should be our desire. He says, build houses, plant gardens, live life, let your witness. Yes, we should speak words of the gospel, but we should do that with compassion and with grace. He says, let your life infiltrate those around you, the love of God in those relationships. So he says, be peacemakers, not troublemakers. But then secondly, he talks about incarnation, not isolation. So he says here, he says, give your sons over to have wives and let them get married and encourage them to have families there. The remnant is just a little over 3,200 people that are in Babylon, Jewish people. So he says, let's build this remnant, man, do life there, because after 70 years, after that difficulty, I will bring you back to Jerusalem, which he did with Ezra and with Nehemiah later, the rebuilding of the temple, the rebuilding of the walls, and basically the city, reformation of the city of Jerusalem. And so, listen, today, let's be peacemakers. Come on, church, can I get an amen on that? Let's be peacemakers in this culture. Doesn't mean that we sweep issues under the rug. It doesn't mean that we're just going to agree with every lifestyle choice and every moral issue. So much of our culture today is a moral ethic, isn't it? So much of what we talk about. It's not so much about the existence of God now as it is morality. It's a moral apologetic. And so we're not going to back up on gospel morality. We're not going to back up on the fact that Jesus is the only way to heaven. Can I get an amen on that today? We're not going to back up on those truths. But we can share those truths with grace and compassion, can't we? And he tells them here, build houses there. Do life there. Invest in relationships there. Incarnate the gospel. This year, right where you are. God wants you to be Jesus right there. Right in that place, in your circle of influence. How is anyone going to get saved if you don't tell them? How's that neighbor, that family member, that friend going to come to faith if you don't share with them? And I don't tell the ones right around me and our family invest in that. And so let's be gospel-centered, right? Let's be folks who are peacemakers, incarnating the gospel in relationship with others right around us, okay? But right here we also see three truths that we must take to heart. If we want to see our resolutions become revolutionary in Jesus. Okay, three truths to take note of this morning. First of all, God knows. How many of you just want to fess up today and say, hey, I know God knows. Come on now. He knows. He knows everything. He is omniscient. That means he knows all things perfectly, past, present, and future. The statement here where he says, for I know. Oh, and by the way, I'm preaching out of my journal today. How many folks journal? Have I got any journalers in the house? As we begin a new year, I challenge you to journal. Just write down daily, even if it's just one sentence, something God shows you when you're reading the word and when you're spending time in prayer. So, preaching out of the journal today. God knows. That statement here, for I know the plans I have for you. I know is emphatic in the Hebrew. In other words, what he's saying is, you can literally translate it, I myself alone know. And so, God, listen, God knows our thoughts before we think them. He knows our words before we speak them. He knows our actions before we live them or do them. He knows everything about us. Listen, God knows. And today that shouldn't discourage us. That should encourage us. Because the Bible also says he is a God of steadfast love and of grace. And his eyes roam to and fro throughout the earth to see those who are following him, to strongly support those whose heart is fully his. And so God, there's no greater cheerleader in your life today than God himself. Did you know that? No one that wants you to live for God more than God. That's why he sent his son to die for us, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so God knows. Speaking of that, reminds me of the story of a bunch of elementary age kids in a Catholic school. And they were at lunch one day, and at the head of the lunch line, there was a sign there. One of the nuns had put up a sign that said, take only one. There was a basket of apples there. Take only one. God is watching. So the kid's like, oh, man, you know. And so they're walking down that line. Well, at the end of the lunch line, there was this huge basket of chocolate chip cookies. And one little boy leaned over to the other, and he said, hey, we can take all the cookies we want. God's watching the apples. Listen, God knows a whole lot more than that, doesn't he? He knows our needs before we ask them. Hey, listen, this will encourage you today whether your team won or lost, right, over the past week or the past few days. He knew the result for the kickoff. Come on now. It's no use of getting upset about it. I mean, God knows. He knows. Think about this. God knows our past. God knows our past and doesn't hold it against us. The scripture says that when we come to Jesus, Jesus is the Son of God who came and made the great exchange. In other words, he came and took our place on the cross. That's what his sacrificial death is all about. He took our place there, shed his blood for our forgiveness, for our salvation, for our rescue. Then he was placed in a tomb and he rose from the dead. And whenever we place faith in Christ and submit to him as king of our heart, we make the great exchange. All of our wrong goes on him and we get all of his righteousness. So now we're in right standing with God. And so our sin is cast as far as the east is from the west. Who wants some of that today? Come on, church. And so our past doesn't define us. In Christ, everything's new. It's like we like to say in the church, it's all under the blood. Amen? All that stuff in the past is under the blood. And so, just because you fail doesn't mean you're a failure. Just because you make mistakes doesn't mean you're a mistake. Just because we sin doesn't mean that we have to be defined as sinners or by that sin. When we come to Jesus, we're renewed, we're changed, reborn. Holy Spirit of God comes to live in us. Past is gone. Aren't you glad that God does not hold our past against us? He knows our past. God also, secondly, knows our present, doesn't he? He knows our present situation. And so God is right here in the midst of it with us. He knows everything you're going through right now. And it may feel like God's absent, or he's reticent, or he's unaware. But the truth is that, as we read before Christmas, right? He does not slumber nor sleep. He is the everlasting God. And those who wait upon him renew their strength. God knows our past. He knows our present. But also, aren't you glad today? God knows our future. God knows our future. And whenever we trust in him, it says here that we have a hopeful future. Because of what Jesus did on the cross. Thank you. Y'all give it up for Miss Phyllis today. She brought me some water up here. Isn't that awesome? Thank you, Miss Phyllis. Anybody else tired of the crud? Anybody else had it? I felt great, man. I worked out 5 days this week. I feel awesome. I just got this going on, right? So, future. Aren't you glad that in Jesus, whenever we trust in Him, Scripture says that we have an inheritance in heaven that is undefiled, will not fade away. It's reserved there for us. Our salvation is not kept by our effort. We didn't earn our way to heaven. Whenever you trust in Jesus, it's by simple childlike faith that we receive the free gift of eternal life. We don't earn our way to heaven, and so the good news with that is, therefore, I don't have to keep my salvation either. God knows our future. God knows your tomorrow today. Isn't that good news? We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but we know the one who holds tomorrow, and we trust in Him. And we may not be able to change. Listen, today you may wish you could change your past or your beginning. Well, the tough news is we can't change our beginning, and there are consequences at times that come with that. We can't change our beginning. Oh, but in Jesus, aren't you glad today that He can change your ending? And that's the glorious news of the gospel. Listen, God knows. He knows all things. So let's take the plan to Him, right? Let's just lay it all before Him and say, no, wait, God, you can change this, whatever you want to do. It's all yours. God knows. Secondly, if you're with me, say amen. Kiddos, y'all with me? Say amen. Where's the kids in the house? There we go. I got a few up front. All right. God knows. Number two, let's keep moving. Secondly, God has a plan. God has a plan. How many of you know today God's got a plan for your life? Come on now. A plan. He says here, for I know, I myself alone know the plans. And multiple times He uses that word here in this passage. The plans that I have for you. The word in the original language carries the idea of intent, design. Every aspect of your life has been a part of the providential hand of God. He is not the author of sin. Somehow we have a free will to make choices, and those choices have real consequences. The wages of sin is what? Death. And so that's real, but at the same time, somehow God is so sovereign and so providential and so almighty, so omnipotent, so all-powerful, that He's able to take all that broken stuff and put it together for His glory when we give it to Him. God's got a plan. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we would walk in them. And so God saved you to work in and through your life. God saved us to serve. God saved us to share with others. God saved us to be His hands, feet, and voice on this earth. That's a part of the plan of God. God has a plan, a ministry plan for you. As we start 2023, God has money. He wants you to give to the all-in campaign, to missions, to help that neighbor in need or that coworker or that family member or friend. God has money He wants you to give this year for His kingdom glory. He has ministry plans for you. There's ministry that He wants you to engage in. And I say that even to folks in here who are faithful folks who serve all the time. Maybe it's a new place. Maybe it's a new ministry. Maybe it's a new family group. Maybe it's getting involved with kids or students or college students. Or maybe it's a new place. But God has a plan, a ministry plan just for you and for me. Plans. But we've got to take the time to sit down and hear from God. We live in a fast-paced, non-stop society, don't we? It's non-stop. Work, sports, kids, school, hobbies. I mean, you name it. It's boop, 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 boop. It's just non-stop life. So many busy people. How many folks just admit today, hey, I'm too busy? How many just admit that today? Yeah. You feel like that. Feel like, man, I'm just too busy. Just run, you know, the proverbial rat race. Right? Just doing the thing. It reminds me of the story of a young man who wanted to be a lumberjack. And this was years ago, before all the modern equipment. And these guys were cutting trees down by hand, man, with an axe. And he found a company that was out in the forest cutting down trees. And he went up to the foreman and he said, listen, I want to be a lumberjack. I want to work for you. And he said, well, we need some help. I tell you what. Can you cut down a tree? He said, sure I can. He's a strong young guy. And he said, well, go over and grab that axe and show me. So he went over there and he grabbed an axe and he started cutting on that tree, and over it fell. Fell in just the right place, just the right way, cut it down, and I mean, no time flat. And the foreman looked at him and said, son, you got a job. You start Monday. Well, he came back on Monday, and he worked Monday, and he worked Tuesday, he worked Wednesday, he worked Thursday. And at the end of the day, Thursday, the foreman walked up to him and he said, son, you can pick up your paycheck on the way out today. He said, sir, I thought we got paid on Friday. He said, son, that's your last paycheck. You're done. He said, what do you mean I'm done? He said, well, you're not keeping up with the pace. Everybody else is cutting down a dozen trees a day. You're only cutting down six. So you're wasting time and money, and I don't mean to be so hard on you, but you're not cutting it. So you're going to have to go. And he said, but sir, I come in early and I'm staying late and I'm putting in all this effort. And the foreman could just see the integrity in the young man's eyes. He said, you know what? This boy's telling me the truth. So maybe there's some learning that needs to happen. And he stopped and he said, son, are you stopping to sharpen your axe? He said, no, I didn't know I was supposed to do that. He said, son, you got to stop about three or four times a day and take a few moments to sharpen that axe, and it will speed up your ability to cut these trees down. Well, lo and behold, he followed that advice and started cutting down trees at the same pace and even a little bit quicker than everybody else. What's the moral of the story? Friends, listen to me. In life, I don't know about you, but do you ever feel like you're just whacking away? Just life, man. Job, school, kids, church, sports, hobbies, things, clubs. I mean, you name it. You know, kids at school, clubs, things like that. And man, you're just nonstop. You're never stopping. Listen, every day of our life, the Lord wants to, he wants to sharpen us, form us, mold us, shape us after his image. And after a while, if we're not taking time daily to really draw from the presence of God in prayer and in his word, and get his plan for the day and his advice and his counsel and his direction, you're going to be chopping down, you know, trees with a dull axe. Before you know it, your marriage is going to be in a mess. You're going to be burnt out emotionally, physically. Your relationship with your kids will be a mess. Right? Your commitment to God will be non-existent. So we got to come to him and we got to say, okay, God, today sharpen me. Sharpen the axe today, Lord. I don't want to just keep swinging away at life. I need you to come in and do a work in me. Listen, God's got a plan. He's got a plan for our sin. Aren't you glad that Jesus was the predestined plan for our salvation? Come on, somebody. That's been God's plan before you and I were ever born. He knew we'd be sinners, loved us enough anyway to send his own son to die for our sin on the cross. He made a plan for our sin. Secondly, he's got a plan for your situation. I don't know what you're going through right now, but I can promise you God has a specific plan in mind through that difficulty, that hardship, that illness, that financial issue, that relational difficulty. I mean, you name it. He's got a plan in that. People make real decisions that have real consequences. But God's at work there. So trust him. Pray. Seek him. Isn't that what it says here? Seek me. And you'll find me. He's got a plan for our sin, a plan for our situation. But then thirdly, and I already talked about this a little bit, he's got a plan for your service, for our service. This year, God wants to use you. He doesn't need our effort. He doesn't need our money. He owns it all. He's omnipotent God. We're the ones that get blessed. Come on, somebody. That's why God tells us to serve and give. It's for our benefit, not his. And he's got a plan this year to bless you in special ways through giving, serving, inviting, through prayer and worship, living outward so that others will come to know Jesus and to grow in him. And so what's that plan? I invite you for really the next month, our 30 days of prayer. We'll talk about this next Sunday. Next Sunday, by the way, is State of the Church Address. So I'm going to give some updates about All In and buildings and what God's doing and some cool stuff. But also on the 11th of January, Wednesday, January the 11th, we'll start our 30 days of prayer and fasting. This year we upped it to 30. Just felt like God told us to spend some extra time praying and getting a word from him. And so I want us to spend the next month, man, fasting, taking selected times to fast and to pray. Maybe that fasting is fasting from electronics, young people, hello, but pitch the phone out. Come on, somebody, where's my children at? Right? The phone, adults, the phone, you know, the computer, the TV, turn it off, spend more time talking as a family, praying together, reading the word together. We're going to give you some resources for that. We've got a devotional resource we're going to put out for you starting next Sunday. And so the next 30 days, what is God, what do you have for us this year? Let's really settle into that. Don't just pray for one day and kind of write some stuff in your journal and buzz on and just keep chopping wood. No, no. The next 30 days, let's take time to just pray and really hear from God. God, what's your plan? And I promise you, God has a ministry for you. If you're not involved in ministry, serving, giving, sharing, inviting, God has a ministry for you this year. He didn't save us to sit. He saved us to serve. So God knows, God has a plan. But lastly today, God also has a purpose, doesn't he? He has a purpose. And ultimately, he tells us that purpose here. He says, I know the plans I have for you, not for calamity or destruction or evil, but they're for good, for blessing and a hopeful future. He says, and then, listen, I'll bring you back to this place, and then you will call upon me, and I will hear you, and I will respond. Then you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of our heart. You know, it's been said, there's an old Arabian proverb. It goes like this. It says, all sunshine just leads to a desert. Thank God for rainy days. Can I get an amen? In our lives, so to speak. Thank God for rainy days, for difficulty. Israel here, southern kingdom of Judah, they're walking into exile for the next 70 years. And he says, listen, and by the way, why were they there? Because they had been following their stupid plans for a long time. And let's not pick on them. We do the same thing, don't we? We're prone to do the same thing. They had been following their own plans for a long time, and it led to a huge mess. Idolatry, immorality, same stuff we're seeing in our culture today. He tells them here, he says, listen, after that 70 years, I'm going to bring you back to this place. You will call upon me. You will seek me. What's the purpose of rainy days in our life? What's the purpose of the difficulty? It's so that we will learn to seek the Lord. And that's what life is ultimately about. As we're making these resolutions, I pray we would have a revolution here. We would see it differently. It's not just about what I can gain or accomplish or the wealth I can accumulate or the titles I can get in my job or the education that I can receive or the accolades that can come from my name. Ultimately, the purpose of life is to glorify God, to seek Him, to enjoy Jesus day in and day out. And to be content. It doesn't mean we shouldn't have a drive about our life or be passionate. But ultimately, our leading passion should be the glory of God and the kingdom of God come to earth. Folks getting saved and growing in Christ, disciples being made. That should be the drive and the desire of our heart. God has a purpose in it. Are we seeking Him? Would to God this year that we wouldn't just write down a bunch of goals that we want to accomplish, but that we would set as our number one goal above all else. I just want to seek the Lord this year. God, I just want to hear from You. I just want to receive from Your Spirit. I just want to know that I'm in the center of Your will. And when we make that the drive of our life, will God take care of everything else? Come on, church. Will He take care of everything else? Sure He will.